Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It is Dukes and Bell. We are in friggin' Paulding County, man. We start every hour of every show with...
Hey, man.
What a crowd, man. Buffalo's Cafe here in Hiram. Chris is in for Carl. Carl, you are missing out, man. We got tons of listeners, great crowd, seeing some new faces, making some new friends. And guys, you got to come back here. Well, hopefully Law, the guy that runs this joint, our man Lawton and Company, will get us back here again.
Oh, it's already on the books, Mike Bell. We're coming back.
It is bash night at Buffalo's Cafe, guys, from 5 to 8. It's all the wings you can eat. And if you've looked at our audience, man, y'all going to get crushed on this deal there, Buffalo's Cafe. But we'll be here till 7. Got a great crowd. Some new folks are just rolling in. So if you live in this neck of the woods or you're coming on the way home, come by and see us at Buffalo's Cafe. As you mentioned, Carl is a little jacked up with the voice, so Chris Thomas is in. This hour of the show, guys, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. A reminder, guys, you can swing by Buffalo Wild Wings where it's always to go. You can't stop in. You can go and pick it up on your way home or for your next event. Chris, we got to find a defensive coordinator. And it's not going to happen overnight, but as you brought up the other day, there are other jobs, and they're getting filled, and coaches who have friends, and sometimes that intersects with maybe guys we're talking to. We do want to have a degree of urgency, but I've got no problem if it takes, you know, until Tuesday or Wednesday of next week to find us a D.C. We did know already that Lou Alarumo is – now I butchered it – from the Bengals has talked to us. We also spoke to Wink Martindale, and now we find out that Steve Wilks – is going to be the next guy to interview. Steve Wilks, of course, was coach of the Cardinals for 1 year, was the interim, great, well-respected defensive coordinator, interim for the Panthers, did have a tough day in the Super Bowl, and some would say scapegoat either way. He did get jacked in the San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator job, but he is super well-respected around the league. And I'd have no problem if it comes to be Steve Wilks once he interviews.
Yeah, I have no problem either. In fact, I know you said you like Dennis Allen, but he would probably be my favorite to land the job just because it's one word, Mike, and you were just alluding to it. It's stability, man. That's what this organization needs on the defensive side of the ball in all phases, on all three levels, no matter how you look at it. You need somebody that's going to come in here, stabilize the troops, and get the most out of the talent that they have because we know – they're going to be a little short in some areas. They don't have all the money to spend like they did a couple of years ago. They had a couple of misses. You were hoping that either one of, if not both, Judon or Simmons would have such a good year that you'd have to bring him back.
Right.
0-for-2 on that.
No, Judon's gone. Simmons is gone. Unfortunately, look, and I said this, I've said it a million times. I don't want to get a nasty grab from somebody with the Falcons. We're not always killing the GM. He's put some amazing pieces together on offense. Bijan, Drake, Pitts is a bust. Meanwhile, he's gotten Bergeron, who's great. That's a guy we never complain about at left guard. But unfortunately, the defense is not impactful. And you've got to find a guy. You know, it's funny. Dean Pease is too old now. I get it. But you need somebody. Maybe Steve Wilks can make that lemonade we've been talking about. Because, yes, you don't know what Troy Anderson's going to be. I know that some guys take some positives from Rook Arorojo at the end of the season. But still, can Lou Anarumo do that? You know, he did do some great things with Cincinnati. They went to a Super Bowl, but then the injuries overcame him. Look, if you felt that he was going to get the benefit of the doubt, Bengals cut bait. So if they're looking for a new guy, you know the Bengals situation this year. If they just had a modicum of defense, Joe Burrow might be in the MVP, you know, if not Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen.
Yeah. Could that happen for Michael Penix Jr. next year if the right defensive coordinator comes in here and this team is firing on both sides of the ball? See, right. Mike, that's why this is so frustrating. I said this the other day on the air. This season and the promise equal parts frustrating but right. then tantalizing.
Yes.
Because you're looking at the future on offense and you're licking your chops saying this could be a special unit. But at the end of the day, you need to nail this defensive coordinator hire because, again, Mike, as we keep saying, it's not just about making the most out of what you have. What you have is a slightly bare cupboard.
Right. I mean, guys, first off, think about this. There's no – with all due respect to Mike Hughes, you could have gone – and remember, if you don't believe me, I'm not pulling this out of my tuchus, guys. It's the only city in America where, guys, we have a miserable season. It goes, you're being too hard on the gentleman. No, you're soft as frickin' Charmin. Go back and you can Google, guys. You go to your search engine, or maybe Bing if you're a real nerd. Either way, you go look up 2024 NFL Draft, Wikipedia, and then you scroll down to the second round, and you watch where we selected. You're telling me that Rook Orohoro is the 35th best player? In the end. Now, he may turn out to be. I give everyone 2 or 3 years. See, that's why I can say Troy Anderson's a bust. Because unless he's a Pro Bowler next year, he's only played 9 games in 2 seasons the last two. He did have a pick six against the Saints. Yes, he shows signs. We know he's got athleticism. But you should have gone with Nick Benito. Nick Benito, go back and look where – go back and look. And you can – I'm not making these things up, Chris. Do you understand the words coming out of my mouth? If you go back and look at the 22 draft, go see where we went with Troy Anderson and then see where Nick Benito was picked. And then Google Nick Benito if you don't follow the Broncos. 30 sacks in 3 years. 13 and a half this year. That's what you kind of need in a 3-4 from your OLB. But we don't get that from Troy. I'm not, and again, this isn't against Rook, because everybody said it, and we interviewed Rook this summer. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
But I got to see it. And I just don't think when you put all the eggs in the Cousins basket, regardless of what happened, you still would have thought you're going to go for an impact player. Your corners, part of the reason A.J. Terrell, first off, was really great at what he did. When they finally, with Joe Adams, he shut down Terry McLaurin. But half the time, the league was going the other way because they didn't believe those other guys could do anything.
No, and then you, unfortunately, you have the haunting tale of the tape during the Vikings game where guys were literally falling down on defense. And you can hit me up on Twitter or hit Mike up on Twitter and say, oh, but those are just isolated. No. That is a perfect microcosm of what happened to the defense at the end of the season. You gave up 44 points to the Carolina Panthers in a playoff game in an embarrassing fashion. Right. You need somebody who's going to be able to come in and stabilize that. So you give up 24 or 14 instead of 44 with the guys that are on the roster because, again, you guys are not going to be able to go out and sign a $30 million a year defensive end. That's not on the table this offseason.
That's exactly right, man. Guys, we're talking about the Falcons. Seeing what's going to happen with the D.C. Search, Steve Wilks, I like Dennis Allen. And, again, we had this conversation yesterday. I don't want to belabor it, Chris. Don't think about what these guys did as a head coach. Real quick, explain Robert Saleh. It sounds like he really wants to get back to being a head coach in this cycle.
Yeah, we know that he's had 2 head coaching interviews so far. Dallas is what we found out late last night. And then we know he interviewed for the Jacksonville job as well. So, listen. The only pitch I guess you could make to Robert Saleh is exactly what we were joking around about and say, hey, Rob, come in here and fix the defense. And if it doesn't work, guess who's in the front line for the head coaching job position because you've done it before.
Right. The Falcons guys, Chris just touched on it. We got a great offense. We feel good about it. Apparently, you know, McGarry, a lot of guys concerned about becoming the new blind side with a left-handed quarterback with Michael Penix Jr. They seem to be satisfied with it. I know that some guys have brought up the center. They seem to be okay with Dahlman and New Zealand, the backup. Another area where I will give kudos. We've got depth under Dan Quinn. If we lost a lineman, we were screwed. Remember the year 15, 18? We had years where we went to go to camp. Crow and I joke around all the time. Coach, who's playing left guard? Still evaluating. Iron sharpens iron. We're going to battle and we're going to fight. You had no left guard. You didn't have a guy. We've got Ryan Nuziel. You got Storm Norton. You got guys who can plug in. We've got better depth in the offensive line than we've had in 15 years on this team. But and I'll give Terry Fontenot credit. But on the defensive side, it's a race car, and the needle's going the other way in reverse.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we knew it was going to be rocky road and some sledding along the way, but the absolute epic collapses in 3 and 4 different games this year for the second and third year in a row, that's the problem. Like, it's like everything else. Oh, you could change the coordinator. You could change the jersey color. You can change the scheme. It doesn't matter. Unfortunately for the Atlanta Falcons, the bugaboo of not being able to get the quarterback on the ground consistently has followed them through time immemorial, and we see now that it's paying off in the form of your third new defensive coordinator coming up in the last four seasons. And what does that allude to? Inconsistency.
Right. And look, we said it. Dean Pease, an older guy, and he was kind of fun. He's kind of like an old school, kind of like reminded you like, you know, Buddy Ryan. You know, we've had some good dudes that have come through here over the years. Wade Phillips kind of reminds you of that old school defensive coordinator. Guess what? He really did make the lemonade out of the lemons. Whoever comes in here, whether it's Steve Wilkes, I haven't seen, we're going to speak to Dennis Allen yet, but I'd give him a phone call. But Lou Anarumo, okay, he did, at one point, was really good.
Yeah.
If you want to give him a pass for all the injuries with the Bengals and losing guys like Jesse Bates to us, I don't know. But I want somebody who can come in here and maximize the talent. What if it's Jeff Ulbrich? What if we monkey around and we do the most Falcon thing ever, and we come back to a guy that was been in the family, you know, I can't do the hand gestures in front of kids. But anyway, you get the idea about Jeff Ulbrich, where the team went backwards in New York after Robert Saleh got fired. Even his own players were saying it wasn't good.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know how much they care about this at Flowery Branch, and I'm not saying that they even should. It wouldn't look good optically.
No.
Because the last thing he put on tape was an epic failure that led to one of the most biggest collapses we've seen in terms of teams with expectations in the New York Jets.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And where their season ultimately finished with him at the helm, it was an unmitigated disaster, Mike Bell. And the problem is, what do we do in the NFL? It's what have you done for me lately?
Now, the Jets did interview Jeff Ulbrich for the position. There was a big article today in ESPN New York talking about other players saying once they fired Robert Saleh, that doomed the season. Whatever was possible there was not possible in Jeff Ulbrich, because that's a tough situation. New York City, the media, and now you're juggling all those balls in the air. He couldn't handle it.
No.
You know. As we said earlier, it's like Silvio when Tony got shot by Uncle Junior. He couldn't step up to the plate. And I like Jeff Ulbrich, nice guy. He's also the guy that sicked Tack McKinley on us.
Yeah.
He is his experience at UCLA told Thomas Dimitroff, that's not the guy I want coaching my defense. And it's definitely not a guy I want ever involved anywhere in, oh, by the way, what do you think of the talent in this draft? No. Hard pass on Ulbrich. Sorry. Brick, as he's known around the league. No way, Jose. So let's see. Steve Wilkes, I think we'd be excited about.
Yep.
Plus, if Raheem continues to make really bad decisions on the sideline and clock management, Steve Wilkes is the guy you can punch in as a head coach.
Yeah, and I think it makes perfect sense to take one of those types of guys. I think the one thing we know for certain, and we don't know much, they're not bringing in a guy who's a neophyte again. That's not happening. They're not giving a guy his first chance. They're not taking a hot college coach.
No, that was a rookie mistake. You shouldn't have hired Jimmy. Look, Jimmy likes your boy. You had a relationship with him. You don't hire two rookie coordinators. I thought Zach did a good job. I think, yes, if you watch, Chris, you watch any NFL season as a fan, you're going to have moments where I didn't like this play call. Why didn't we run the ball? Hated that fourth down. That's football. But at least Zach had to deal with, to his credit, he had to deal with the slow start of Cousins, then Cousins is on top of the world, and then the wheels fall off. And then you got to break in a rookie. So that's kind of tough for your first year as an OC. Zach's not a problem. Jimmy Legg was a problem. Why would you saddle yourself with a guy who's never, ever been a defensive coordinator? You had two coordinators, never done it before.
I guess because my guess to that answer, Mike, is what we saw happen about three quarters of the way through the season. Because Raheem knew,
right,
I can do it. If all else fails, I can do it.
Well, the good news is Raheem, he took over. We got more sacks, and you just touched on it. You had that absolute clown show with the secondary in Minnesota. You could have played the Benny Hill theme when our cornerbacks are flailing on the ground. And then the last game of the season, yes, we know the Bucs were probably going to beat the Saints. Chris, in a must-win, you let Bryce Young put 44 on you. They went down the field in overtime. even there.
Five touchdowns.
Five touchdowns.
For Bryce Young.
Bryce Young.
Who was benched.
Who was benched?
For Andy Dalton.
For the redhead.
That's right.
Nobody likes the ginger. Any redheads in the bar? No. So anyway, hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We're live here at Buffalo's in Hiram, Buffalo's Cafe. We're going to be here until 7. Let the feast begin. Hey, Tinker, you can start. Get the bucket of wings, man. It just began. The bash just started. We're going to reenact Roadhouse. We've got enough guys in here to look like we're in the movie. Come on down and join the party. We're going to be here till 7 o'clock. We're going to come back. Joe Patrick, more on the Falcons and the D.C. coaching search. But, guys, Atlanta United fans, some guys say you can never go home again. Actually, Thomas Wolfe said that, Chris. But I'll tell you what, a guy you might remember from the past might put some fannies in the seats at Mercedes-Benz. We'll get into that as our strong-arm story next.
The strong-arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
And talk to Joe Patrick. Smoke at Joe Patrick joins us. Hey, you know what? I'll change gears. We'll start with United and then we'll get to Falcons. How about that?
Yes.
Hey, Joe, I don't know if there's any – you putting any stock in this story about Miggy coming back from Newcastle?
I am putting stock in it, guys. It's a pretty exciting one for Atlanta United fans because obviously everything that Miguel Almirón means to them and their fandom, you know, it's kind of a different – it's one thing to have a legend kind of come back to your team or whatever who's been a part, but for Atlanta United fans, it's like that's the team that they initially knew. That when they became Atlanta United fans, it was watching a player like Miguel Almirón. And here's basically the deal with what's happened. He was in talks with Charlotte FC to become their next designated player. For whatever reason, those talks broke down, or Charlotte basically decided to move on to different targets. It looks like they're narrowing in on Wilfred Zaha, a guy who's played in the Premier League before, people might know. But they basically moved off of Almirón, and apparently Charlotte called up Atlanta and said, hey, we had the rights to negotiate with him, and they're called discovery rights in MLS, but we're not negotiating with him anymore, so feel free. And I don't know exactly how MLS thought that discovery rights would be transferred from one team to the other, but regardless, it seems like, well, we now know that Atlanta United is negotiating with Miguel Almirón. We've even seen reports in the last hour that they have gone from not being very advanced to getting advanced. He's given the green light to the situation. And it has always felt to me like once they got to actually officially talk that things were either going to come together or kind of fall apart relatively quickly. I think at this point it looks like they're coming together.
Joe, their new head man seems to be a bit of a character. Is it Ronnie? Is it Delia? How are we pronouncing
Dyla.
It? I know that's been a
Dyla.
Okay, so
Dyla.
Dylan. All right, so Ronnie Dyla coming in. Can you talk about him for a second? Because it seems like he's the type of guy who, I'm not saying any other coach for United since I've been here didn't have energy and enthusiasm. They obviously did. But this guy seems like the type of character Atlanta fans could get attached to.
Yeah, I got to sit down with him last week, and I think he's exactly what this team needs right now. It's kind of a breath of fresh air in a way that is exciting because I think he's going to kind of light a fire under some of these players' asses. You know, he's going to demand things that I don't know have been really demanded before. You know, like Gonzalo Pineda was kind of the classic players coach, and he was coming off of, you know, the team having Gabriel Heinze, who was obviously extremely demanding. Ronnie Dyla, he kind of strikes you as more of a Frank DeBoer style of guy, and that's just kind of more, it strikes you because that's kind of the manner in which he speaks. He's kind of got that Northern European accent like that. But he's, you know, extremely demanding, and he has shown an ability to win an MLS. He won an MLS Cup title with NYCFC, only took him like a year and a half to do that. It sounds like having talked to him, he felt like he was not appreciated enough, and that was one of the reasons why he ultimately decided to move on to Club Bruges, where then that team went on to win. So the guy has won in multiple spots, and most importantly, he's won in MLS. But I think most of all, what's exciting is that, you know, he is going to demand a certain standard and a certain work ethic from this group that I think that they're very willing to give. I think that this team of young players that Atlanta United has, now, once you put some more experienced DPs around them, I think they're a group that are kind of would really embrace a coach really demanding that kind of thing out of them and kind of bring back that pressing, high-intensity kind of style to Atlanta United that we all have desperately wanted to see now for years.
Falcons defensive coach search conversation in just a minute. We're just talking about United because rumors now that Miguel Almirón could be back. So does a guy just hit me up and go, well, you know, Father Time. I felt just when I watched United – talk about, you know, Newcastle United, that they just coaches, it was like star-crossed for Miggy. They either didn't trust him, he was sort of just never a good fit, and when he did get on the pitch, he seemed to make things happen for those guys.
agree. You know, when he went into Newcastle United, they had a manager named Steve Bruce, who's kind of like an old school kind of, you might call him like of like a different era, like kind of a relic of like Premier League managers gone in a year gone by. And he didn't really, you know, take to Miguel Almirón, because a lot of times these transfer deals, it's kind of that classic, you know, you got your cooks, you know, and who's ordering the ingredients, and the people who are ordering the ingredients aren't necessarily what the cook wants. And that seemed to be how it was for him at Newcastle. Of course, it was a deal that Atlanta United wanted to make because they got the most money from it. But then it seemed like the entire time Miguel was at Newcastle, you know, they had different managers coming in and out of the door. He never really had a sense of consistency or, I think, just, you know, regular playing time in the team. And Mike, I know you've been following his career, and it's crazy this year that he only has 398 minutes in all competitions for Newcastle United. So it's not like he has accrued a ton of mileage on you know, wear and tear on the tires over the course of his time at Newcastle, although he has had some injuries start to crop up, and he's 30 years old now. So it's kind of funny. We all kind of think of him as this kind of young player, and while he still is very fast, definitely brings that to the table, and that's something Atlanta United wants to add. He is kind of an experienced player at this point, and I think it's an interesting kind of turn from Atlanta United, where you go from, you know, spending big on these DPs like Thiago Almada, who you can then sell on for a lot of money afterwards. And I think that Garth Lagerwey really wants to put all the value that he can directly into the roster, and I don't think they really care about sell-on value in this case. They just want a player who can provide value on the field, and I think that everyone feels confident that Almirón, especially as a player who's been here before, would be able to step in right away, not really have, you know, any issues kind of transitioning from one league to the another, and be able to provide that leadership and that quality on the field.
All right, Joe, we just found out coming down a couple of minutes ago, Steve Wilks will be the latest candidate to interview for the defensive coordinator job for the Falcons. So now we have Lou Anarumo. We have Steve Wilks and
Steak Shapiro here. Lou Albano, Captain Lou Albano, interviewing with the, you know, Falcons.
Exactly, and we know what's going on with the team right now in terms of their search. There's three candidates right now. How wide of a net do you expect them to cast before they make their decision?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I actually expect them to continue to add names onto this list. I do like guys, just like literally the names, they sound like defensive coordinators. Steve Wilks, a Wink Martindale, you know, a Lou Anarumo. You know that guy knows his football. No, I'm kind of kid. But no, there are a lot of coaches out there who have, you know, the resume. I think it's more of an issue for the Falcons as to who they can convince to actually come and take over a defense that is not particularly talented, that hasn't had a lot of money invested in it outside of a couple positions, and that it's going to, I think, have some rebuilding to come over the next couple of years. And so I think Steve Wilks is a guy who's obviously very familiar with Raheem. He was at training camp for a couple of days just to kind of get familiar and, you know, just kind of shadow as these guys tend to do. But I, you know, there's obviously some bigger names still out there. I would be surprised, or I at least hope the team can get Dennis Allen, the Saints coach that was fired in for an interview. I think he would be my top candidate just because of the familiarity he would have with people like Terry Fontenot to Caden Ellis and how important he is on that defense. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of different ways this thing could go. And I think we're still just in the very preliminary stages of trying to figure out who's separating the wheat from the chaff.
That's the thing, man. I'm with you. I said Dennis Allen yesterday. You remember, he was there for Onyemata and for Caden Ellis, and I think he got the most out of these guys. But you said it. We got to draft better. We got to get impact players. We spoke with legendary NFL writer John McClain. You're going to hear that coming up at 4:20 for guys who missed it yesterday. And McClain was saying our only hope, and again, this is like a 100-to-1 shot, Joe, is that somebody needs a quarterback late, and you hope that you can maybe get Cousins off the books and somebody picks up $10 million of the tab. And that still seems like long odds.
Yeah, you know, the Cousins thing is interesting. I tend to think that this team is going to hold on to him. Like, I don't think they're going to cut him before that March 17th deadline, honestly, guys. I think they could even pay the $10 million and then trade him later. That could even be a possibility, and it would still probably be worth it for the Falcons. But certainly the Kirk Cousins is going to play a big deal into all these kinds of different movings that are happening on the Falcons roster and coaching staff.
That's the thing, though. I mean, if you look at that tape, you just show them the tape of the two games against the Bucks. Don't show them anything that happened, including that Saints, Chargers, Minnesota. Just some awful stuff.
And show them Brad Guzan's stats in his second year removed from the Achilles, right?
Right. I mean, that's just it. Now, that you're hoping that somebody – but again, that's the odds that somebody in late July or August is fishing for a quarterback, that just seems a bit – I don't know. Hey, man, Joe, we'll be keeping up to date on it. If Miggy, something happens concrete, hit us back, all right?
Will do. We'll be on, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
How much time, Mo? It is Dukes and Bell. Chris Thomas in for Carl Dukes today, hanging out with Mike Bell. We are at Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram. Make sure you come on out. We have a great crowd here this afternoon. We are getting our wing on, Mike Bell. The 5 o'clock hour has begun.
Yes, man. And the bash is underway. And I can tell you right now that our boy Tinker, who resembles the dude that you guys know and love from Roadhouse, is doing some damage. We've got some Georgia fans. We've got Braves fans. We've got Tech fans. Even some cool Tech fans. They just live in Hiram. You have to go to Hiram to be Tech fans. They're going to break your chops about, why don't you talk more Tech? It's more, they're actually having fun today. We're hanging out here till 7 o'clock, guys. Still plenty of time if you're in this neck of the woods. So come on down, guys. It's been a great time this afternoon meeting some good friends. How about Joe Patrick? And we wanted you to hear the conversation. It was earlier today. Just because for Atlanta United fans, I know we've got some diehard fans, and credit to you for staying with it. And I look, my hand's up. I'm not going to lie to you. I've drifted in and out.
Yeah.
I was frustrated with the quality of play. You were making fun of me last year because I was so in love with this team. In March, they couldn't lose. They were scoring all the goals, and it was amazing. And then we didn't win for 2 months.
Right.
And eventually the coach, the manager got, as we talked about with Pineda. But this is just something that in MLS, we've seen European players in their prime or end of the back end of their career come in. I think Miggy still has something to give, to Joe's point. So what we're talking about in the conversation is Miguel Almiron, and those conversations apparently continuing. And Charlotte was in the mix earlier, but it's just a name brand, and it would be so much fun to get back to Mercedes-Benz. And he can, to your point, as Joe brought up, to be that glue guy, can put the scorers in position, also get some goals himself. I think the fans would just go bananas for that.
Yeah, and it's exactly what the franchise needs both on and off the pitch, Mike, as you were just alluding to there. And I think it really rings true to this simple fact. You need to, in whatever way you can, as you've been pounding the drum for the longest time, try your best to recapture the magic. I'm not saying it's lightning in a bottle and it'll be an instant fix, but whatever the secret sauce and the mojo was that was there the first two or three seasons for Atlanta United that has been lost in translation along the way, and if that means bringing back an old friend, fine.
And hey, this year, man, you realize that Atlanta United destroyed MLS's hopes and dreams? For some reason, it's the craziest thing. Why would you take the first round and make that a best 2 out of 3?
Right.
Makes no sense. So anyway, they wanted to get Lionel Messi on more eyeballs on Apple, and it blew up in their face. Atlanta United wins. You knocked the biggest draw out. Unfortunately, we couldn't, you know, we were able to go any further, but it was a hell of a story, a hell of a run late, and now we've got a new skipper that, according to our man Smoking Joe, things can be a decent fit. Certainly, you know, very dry, that very Scandinavian, that Norwegian sense of humor. Yeah, you want to hear a good Norwegian joke?
Well,
my dog has no nose.
Yes.
How does it smell? Awful. That's a joke I heard in Reykjavik, Iceland. I'm not lumping in Iceland people with Norwegian people. I'm just saying they're a bit dry. On that note, it is the 5 o'clock hour here on Dukes and Bell with Chris filling in for Carl. And it is brought to you by our buddies at Buffalo Wild Wings. Can't stop in. Order Buffalo Wild Wings Go and pick it up on your way home or for your next event. Hey, man, if you missed it earlier in the dog report, what David Pollack had to say about Carson Beck's tenure, here in Athens and then moving on to Miami. And also, you know, talking about the big picture with Georgia football. And plenty more on what's going to be a national championship, which I got to be honest, not a lot of buzz here in Atlanta.
No.
Will the numbers pan out coming up next Monday night? We'll talk about it next. It is Dukes and Bell with our man Chris Thomas in for Carl. Carl, you're missing out on a great time tonight. Hey,
yeah.
Hiram, great audience, man, great crowd, and everyone's taking advantage of the big giant bash night, which is basically all you can eat wings from 5 to 8 here at Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram. Come on down, man, and join the party if you're still coming in. Met some new folks, some folks who live over in Dallas, Georgia, and a lot of some good folks that never get to see us, Chris, and some guys, I want to come see y'all at, you know, when you're here or there in Kennesaw or Twin Peaks, this and that, and it's great to be able to make the connection. And I will say this, the commonality this afternoon, you've been talking to listeners too, is we love Penix. We're excited about one half of our Falcons team, but we're really nervous or super disappointed about the other half of our Falcons team.
Well, you just said it, Mike, because the equal parts optimism and frustration of this team right now, you are insanely optimistic about the potential of the offense with Bijan and Drake, and maybe Kyle Pitts gets his butt in gear.
Right.
And we got Tyler Allgeier, one of the best backfields. We got a solid, if not spectacular, to quote you, offensive right. line. You got all the pieces in place, but you are equally as frustrated with the defensive effort because you had not one, not two, not three, count them, four absolutely unacceptable defensive performances.
Real quick, we're going to talk some college football. A couple of text messages. Can't read them all, guys, at 404-726-0929. A lot of guys love the idea of Steve Wilks. Guys, for some reason, I think it's the Saints connection. Everybody seems to be lukewarm on Dennis Allen, but a lot of our analysts like Dennis Allen. Guys, forget about the head coach. Think about him and Cam Jordan kicking our butts for the better half of 10 years.
Yep.
That's Dennis Allen. I take that here in Atlanta. He's coached Onyemata. He's coached Caden Ellis. I mean, I think he's done well with secondaries that sometimes aren't the best. You know, they've always been under the cap. That's another thing. Your coach is going to have to deal with some cap stuff. You know, we're not going to be able to address all those needs. And Dennis Allen has always seemed a way to find, make, you know, some pretty good stuff out of that Saints defense. So that's a guy I would certainly kick the tires on. I haven't seen Dennis Allen scheduled yet, according to our analyst, Mark Ramondi, and, of course, our own smoking Joe Patrick and D-Led. Thanks, Mike. But that's a guy I would talk to. Wilks is coming up next, correct?
I just got an email from David Bassidy, who, for those who don't know, is the head of communications for the Falcons, that apparently they snuck in an interview with Jeff Ulbrich. They have now completed an interview with Jeff Ulbrich for the defensive coordinator position.
I told you.
And that is in the books.
Okay. That's an avenue I don't want to walk down. Look, real quick, Jeff, and we said this yesterday for guys who missed the show. We expect you to listen every day. Please do. But we said this yesterday. All of these guys that have come through Atlanta, they're great guys. And Jeff is well-respected. They call him Brick. Jets players really enjoyed playing for him. Just unfortunately, the pressure just was too much. In that
as year. A coordinator.
As a coordinator. Head coach, different situation. But Brick is the same guy. And I was always under the impression that it was Jim Mora Jr. until D-Led, thanks, Mike, corrected me. That it's actually Jeff Ulbrich who put the apparently got the buzz in Thomas Dimitroff's ear. And again, I know we were 4-3, 3-4, 4-3. I think we could figure out how to make T.J. Watt work.
Yeah.
We passed on T.J. Watt. We went with Tack McKinley. Jeff Ulbrich, with his connection to UCLA, was the guy that apparently put a lot of information out there that the coaching staff then leaned on the general manager. And look, much like our current general manager, Thomas Dimitroff did some great things. And the secondary did some great things with the skill positions. Never, ever understood pass rush. So with all due respect, I don't want Jeff Ulbrich within a mile of this team. And it's also too comfortable with Raheem.
Yes.
There's too much. I need some stress. I need some pressure. I want a coach that comes in and makes Raheem the best Raheem he can be. Everybody talks about, well, Kyle Pitts has to be the best Kyle Pitts. I need my coach to not be a nitwit when it comes to clock management. I don't mind the idea of a coach who's been a head coach who can come in here, coach the defense, and oh, by the way, if we continue to struggle, you might be the guy who gets that job. Now, some would say that's a difficult situation. Sometimes pressure creates some results.
What's the cliche? It either bursts pipes or creates diamonds.
Correctamundo.
And when you have a play, listen, Mike, we know Arthur Blank can't come out and say 2024 there was a playoff mandate. But there was a
there
playoff.
Spend 100 – look, it's not 180. It's $100 million.
Yes.
But you don't spend $100 million on a quarterback, double down on a backup who turns out to be the better quarterback in the end, hopefully, and the future is bright, certainly with Michael Penix Jr., if it wasn't either coming from the ownership. That's why the tail wagging the dog. Who's making these decisions? We're going to talk, Georgia, just one more thing on the Falcons. But this gets back to the vision thing. You know – if you're going to go draft Penix, whatever. You feel you're never going to be picking in the top 10, maybe we won't. That's good news. Okay, you did it. But don't go draft Rook Arojo and then say that hopefully he'll bear. He's a project. He wasn't a fire breather for Clemson. He was an all ACC defensive starter. You're betting on the athleticism, which is fine. But he better be Grady Jarrett or more, right? Some would say just draft him in the third round where he was supposed to be drafted, as opposed to passing on Cooper DeJean and Kool-Aid McKinstry and Kamari Lassiter and all these other corners who are still playing in the playoffs
right.
and would have started opposite A.J. Terrell. So that's my beef with the defense. Whoever you hire is going to have to really, and I'll say it for the fifth time today, you're going to make lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah, and the other thing too, Mike, they doubled down two rounds later and took Brandon Dorlus, who didn't play.
Dorlus didn't play. I like Braylon Trice. I know you heard the conversation. I asked D-Led. I think he can be that guy. D-Led goes, he's just a guy, Mike. I don't see it. Let's hope we're wrong about that. But you're going to have to wait till next year when they're coming off an ACL.
He looks the part. Right. He, as you say, Mike, getting off the bus, he looks like a guy that could line up opposite AK and make some noise. But we'll have to wait and see. Unfortunately, we've been waiting and seeing for too many damn players, Mike.
I'm with you. Don't get too cute. Troy Anderson. Yes, I know guys go – it's funny. I want to give a shout-out to Jerome. Not the Jerome that we get into it with Hooters and the Mall of Georgia location. This is another Jerome on the text line. He goes, you know, Mike, I know you were harping on that Benito thing. You know what he wrote? Dot, dot, dot. Damn. Yes.
He's really good.
Troy Anderson has played 9 games in 2 years. He has half a sack as a Falcon. Nick Benito's got 30.5 and 13.5 this year. But you had to be cute and go with the guy that was a running back, quarterback, and linebacker. How about you just draft the guy that played for Oklahoma?
Yeah, if you look at Terry Fontenot's drafts, Mike, he's buoyed by his first-round picks.
Right.
That's it.
Now, look, we all know it's a 50-50, and as you go deeper in the draft, it's certainly a coin flip. But then maybe I don't want to throw this. I don't know the Falcons. I used to know some of the scouts in the old. Don't know the guys that came in. I know they moved some guys out. How's your scouting staff? Are these the guys telling you these are the moves to make? Then you should talk to those guys because that's not working. Real quick, some dog, and we'll get into some Notre Dame and Ohio State national championship on Martin Luther King Day right here in Atlanta. David Pollack on his podcast was asked about Carson Beck and, you know, his future. He kind of says he's damaged goods. Take a listen.
The injury he has, it's a 6 to 8 month injury. And so that puts him, you know, right up against camp, you know, and trying to get back. And so obviously the value of him is, I don't want to say this. I'm not saying this rude, but like it's damaged goods right now. Like you don't know what you're getting. So if you're going to make a heavy investment, I think it's kind of hard to do if you're a college team.
And the irony is, Mike, we found out today via our buddies at On3. Apparently, not so much. Apparently, he was a wanted man, and Kirby Smart was the first to put in the beck and call to say, come on back home, followed by Kalen DeBoer at Alabama.
But and look, they've got to replace Jalen Milroe. We didn't know Jalen Milroe was leaving for the NFL until just a few days ago. They obviously knew. But here's the thing. Why would Kirby – is Kirby just pumping up Gunnar Stockton before that Sugar Bowl by saying there's a little more energy and the way the players responded to you? Also, that media day where everybody ran over and was having fun. The offensive line loves – you know, it's funny. I'm glad the offensive line loves him. Try blocking next year. Well, some of you guys are gone.
For real. The offensive line just was probably the most disappointing. Other than, well, you know what? It's tough, Mike. What was the best of the worst? The receivers who couldn't catch the ball or the offensive line who couldn't
block? You just never expect Georgia to be struggling in the trenches. Here's more from David Pollack, and this goes back to what Chris just mentioned. Some of the things that are beyond Carson Beck's control.
There's a lot of things that didn't help Carson Beck this year. It didn't help the way his team responded to Gunnar Stockton and just the energy they played with the SEC championship game. Like, you could see how much they rallied around the guy. That doesn't help about what it says about you. I'm not being critical and saying he can't be a great quarterback. I'm just saying that doesn't help. You leaving the team and going elsewhere during bowl season, I can put it to you like this, Brent. Like, talking to people who make these decisions in these realms, that says a lot in a negative direction. It does not say a lot of positive things.
And that's what gets back to why was Kirby sending mixed messages? Kirby always wants, look, you know this. Every Georgia fan knows it. Kirby, the guy with the most experience. Might not be the sexiest. We may never have the traditional super athletic dual threat quarterback at Georgia, but Kirby's going to go with smooth and steady wins the race. I think Gunner's more than that. But it is interesting that they would still be interested in Carson Beck, which would have meant that he wouldn't have participated at all in spring football and early part of camp. And based on that arm surgery, the URL.
UCL.
I always get my acronyms messed up when it comes to the ACL. You get the idea. The Brock Purdy surgery. But he wouldn't have been ready to go until, you know, in August.
But here's the thing, Mike. You can rally around the guy all you want. Carson Beck's just a more talented football player. That's what it comes out. And listen, there have been reports that Beck was, quote, checked out at some points during the season. But at the end of the day, if he's the better football player and he gives you the best chance to win, that's why Kirby wanted him back.
Right. Look, I wasn't a Carson Beck fan. I appreciate his frankness about, hey, pressure, and I deal with it. Don't talk about the pressure. Stop talking about the – just do your job and stop throwing to the wrong guys. And if you're Bobo, when he's throwing to the wrong guys, try to run the game, which gets us back to David Pollack's comments. You could have run the ball against Alabama. Alabama's defense was mediocre by Nick Saban's defensive standards. You could have run the ball in Tuscaloosa. You decided to get into a shooting match, and you almost pulled it out. But that gets back to Bobo. We talked earlier about it with Drew Butler. I think in all areas, Georgia's got resources that Mark Richt could only dream about. So let's go, and you've seen it. We got back-to-back natties. Yeah, it's really hard to win a championship. No blank, Sherlock.
Yep.
But it doesn't help when your offensive coordinator is the same guy that was here 20 years ago. Maybe it's time to, you know, I know Sam Pittman's coaching and Matt Luke has got another job. He's in Oklahoma State, I think Rob Tribble said.
Yeah.
I thought it was Clemson. Either way, he's out. But you've got to find the next Sam Pittman. You've got to find the next Matt Luke. Because with all due respect to Stacey Searles, it wasn't working. And it better be working this year, otherwise we'll be in the same boat.
The other thing, too, we found out, Mike, is no more ETN. He gone. He's going to the NFL.
Sorry, you glad you brought that up. Trevor ETN is heading to the National Football League, and this goes back chicken and the egg argument. If you can't block, you can't run. You wasted Trevor. All this hype about Trevor ETN. What a leader. Everybody's rallied around this guy. What a stud this guy's going to be. You just wasted it. Trevor ETN was like, you know, you just won a Corvette, and you never took it out of the cul-de-sac. You know, whatever your car, a Ferrari, a Bugatti. You know, or do you feel that Trevor Etienne wasn't all that?
No, I thought he could have been. He was.
I think he showed toughness. He played with the ribs. You see what he was capable of. That's why we always say, Bobo, run the damn ball. But either way, you'll never know. Now Frazier steps up, and you see the superstar ability of Frazier, but he's got to hold on to the football.
He's got a Tiki Barber, that thing, is what he's got to do.
Right.
He's got to walk around with a football 24-7, day and night, basically get it high and tight and keep that thing tucked in.
Right. That was Omar Epps in the program. James Conn, loosely based on Florida State. We owned it. Anyway, yeah, man, that was the Omar Epps character carrying the rock the whole day. Hey, man, we'll come back. We got good news and bad news when it comes to your Atlanta Hawks. Good news is Trey kicked butt last night. Onyeka Okongwu was on fire. Bad news?
Yeah, everybody and their mom is out tonight, Mike Bell. We'll give you the full rundown.
We used to joke around with Steve Kuhn. If this was a home game, we'd spin the wheel. Section 132, you get to play power forward tonight. We'll come back, man, talk about the headlines. We'll get to the Daily Download and Matt Verderam. Plenty more NFL on who's getting hired in Dallas. All these other big openings is all coming up.